morning to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I just want to read one verse, and that's verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to see the things from your word today that our hearts need to see. We do thank you on this day for the freedom that we enjoy, freedom to meet in a setting like this with not a thought of fear of being arrested or persecuted or beaten. What a blessing it is. Help us not to waste it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's a special day at Calvary Memorial Church and its school, Calvary Christian School. It's graduation day. And we say it's a special day in both the church and the school because Calvary Memorial Church and Calvary Christian School are inseparable. Calvary Christian School is not a separate entity from this church. It is a ministry of this church. And we demonstrate this oneness in several ways. One is that the board that governs Calvary Memorial Church is the same board that oversees and governs Calvary Christian School. This school is located on the property of Calvary Memorial Church and uses the facilities that belong to this church. The folks who work here at the school are employees of Calvary Memorial Church Incorporated. And today, Lord willing, we will demonstrate this inseparable relationship by having the high school graduation in our Sunday evening service. We could have graduation on any day of the week, any evening of the week. But we have it in our Sunday night service as one more way of practically demonstrating to an onlooking world that our school is a fully integrated part and ministry of this church. So this is a special day at this church and its school. Tomorrow is a special day in our nation because it's the day that we observe as Memorial Day. It's a day when we pause to remember those in our military who have given their lives for this nation. And as we approach these 2 days, I was confronted by a question during this week. Which one of these special days should be the focus of the message this morning? Should it be graduation day or should it be Memorial Day? And the Lord, as he always does, provided the answer. And he did it in an unexpected way. When we were in Washington on the senior high school trip, I have to throw that in there. I mentioned to some people, I think I told you that, been on the senior trip to Washington, and they were impressed. You mean you took a bunch of senior citizens to Washington, D.C.? You understand it's the senior high school trip. And when we were there, I bought a couple of books on the debate on the Constitution. The books contained the speeches, and they contained articles that were written in the newspapers. They contained letters that were written by those who favored ratification of the Constitution as it was written and those who opposed it. The state of New York was one of the hotbeds of opposition to the newly minted Constitution. And I was reading an article that appeared in the New York Journal on October 11th, 1787. Was written by a man who used the pen name Cato, or pseudonym Cato. There were a large number of men who engaged in this debate about the Constitution who used a name other than their own. The use of pseudonyms, I understand in reading by writers on public affairs, was a common practice during this time. And you can sort of see why you would do that. If James Madison wrote an article for a newspaper, then when people saw that he wrote it, they'd say, well, there's no point in me reading it because he is in favor of the Constitution. So put that in the circular file. So it was a common practice to use a pseudonym like Publius, John Jay, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison used that pseudonym to put forth their arguments back and forth concerning the Constitution. Cato, according to historians, was a man by the name of George Clinton. George Clinton was an amazing man, like so many of the founders of this nation were. He was a soldier. He was a brigadier general in the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War, and at the same time he was the governor and the lieutenant governor of the state of New York. But he felt like, you know, I probably got a little bit too much to do. I'll resign from being lieutenant governor and I'll just continue to be a general in the army and the governor of New York. Later he served as vice president under Thomas Jefferson and under James Madison. I think he's the only man in our history to do that, to serve as vice president under two different presidents, which means at that time he got votes to be president of the United States. So he was an amazing man. And he had serious questions about the Constitution because, like many others, he was afraid that it did not go far enough in protecting the rights of the individual. And we owe men like George Clinton and men like John Leland, who was a prominent Baptist preacher in Virginia, who helped to convince James Madison. James Madison did not believe that there needed to be a Bill of Rights. But John Leland, who was a prominent Baptist preacher, was a very well-received and honored man in the state of Virginia. He helped to convince James Madison of the need to have a Bill of Rights. And so we owe these men like George Clinton and John Leland and others a great debt of gratitude because their opposition led to the adoption of our Bill of Rights. But back to Clinton, George Clinton. He began the article that he wrote in the New York Journal this way. To the citizens of the state of New York, remember, O my friends, the laws, the rights, the generous plan of power delivered down by your renowned forefathers, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. Oh, let it never perish in your hands, but piously transmit it to your children. I'd like to call your attention to the words, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. Oh, let it never perish in your hands, but piously transmit it to your children. When I read those words, there was no more conflict about which day to speak about in this message. The message needs to be about both days. Because as George Clinton reminds us, they are inseparably related. Memorial Day and Graduation Day. This patriot begins by reminding his fellow New Yorkers that the laws and the rights and the form of government that has been delivered down to them by their renowned forefathers has been dearly bought. Dearly bought. Unless they ever forget, he reminds them of the price of their freedom. Brother Benny was talking about that this morning. So dearly bought, the price of so much blood. That's Memorial Day. It's not even been founded yet. And yet the process, or the thinking in the mind of this man, was toward Memorial Day. The actual day will not, or the process that leads to the day that we observe as Memorial Day is not even going to begin for another 80 years. But here is the reason for it, stated by George Clinton, almost exactly 6 years to the day after the end of the Revolutionary War. Isn't it interesting that after 6 years, you would think people would remember what they had just come through? And yet George Clinton understood something about human nature, how quickly we forget. And so he begins his words to the people of New York, remember. Remember. Remember, O my friends, the laws, the rights, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. If you're looking for a statement that summarizes the reason, that summarizes the importance of Memorial Day, this is it. When George Clinton wrote those words, the freedom that was so dearly bought, the price of so much blood, was the so much blood of 25,000 soldiers. 230 years later, as we consider George Clinton's admonition on this day, to remember, oh my friends, the laws, the rights, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood, the cost of freedom for us today, so dearly bought, is the price of the blood of 1,354,664 men and women. And the reason and the purpose of Memorial Day is to remember. That word should cause us to pause. That word remember should cause us to reflect and to think on our freedom. So dearly bought, the price of so much blood. And as we remember, it should draw from our hearts the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the author of freedom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this word remember, and the reminder of what we are to remember, that freedom is so dearly bought, the price of so much blood, that brings before our minds Memorial Day. But George Clinton's opening words of his article also bring before us the thing that we're thinking about on this graduation day, and that's education. George Clinton addresses education in the opening words of his article. Listen again. Remember, O my friends, the laws, the rights, the generous plan of power delivered down by your renowned forefathers, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. Oh, let it never perish in your hands, but piously transmit it to your children. I'd like to call your attention, first of all, to the words, Oh, let it never perish in your hands. How are we going to do that? How are we going to remember the laws, the rights, the freedom, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood? Well, Cato, George Clinton, tells us in the last sentence, but piously transmit it to your children. In his opening words of the article that he wrote, this man covers both days that we're thinking about this morning. Remember the laws, the rights so dearly bought, the price of so much blood, that's Memorial Day. But piously transmit it to your children, that's education. The very thing that we're thinking about on this graduation day. Cato recognized that the only way that the laws, the rights, the freedom so dearly bought, the price of so much blood, the only way that was going to be transmitted to the children of the people of 1787 and to the children that would be the posterity of our founders, that's you and me today in 2017, the only way that was going to be transmitted would be through education. But we want to notice a very important word in Mr. Clinton's statement. Because he tells us what kind of education will be required to transmit a love and appreciation of the laws and the rights and the freedom that's been so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. Notice that he does not say, but transmit it to your children. He doesn't say that. He says, but piously transmit it to your children. That one word makes all the difference in his statement. If you look up the word piously, the first definition that you'll read is this: having or showing a dutiful spirit of reverence for God. And so if Cato had left out the word piously, then what he would have been promoting is secular education. Education that leaves out God. Education that does not promote a dutiful spirit of reverence for God. Education that is earthly, sensual, devilish. The very kind of education that we have in the public schools of our nation today. Friday was the last day of school here at Calvary Christian School. And contrary to what you might think, it's one of the saddest days of the year to the teachers and staff here at Calvary Christian School. And it's like that because at the end of school every year we hear about children who are not coming back to Calvary Christian School. Their parents are taking them out and putting them in the public schools of this county. I'd like to ask you to turn back a few pages, keep your place here, and turn back a few pages to Genesis chapter 19. Because I want to suggest to you what those parents of these children are doing. Genesis chapter 19. We have spent a number of messages here in this chapter revisiting the days of Lot. And so I don't think we need to do a lot of review. I think we understand that what we are reading about are the angels who came to bring Lot out of Sodom and the reaction of the men of Sodom to these angels. At the end of verse 5, the men of Sodom call to Lot and they say, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Now notice verse 8. "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes." For all the years that I have read this 8th verse, I've always wondered what the equivalent of what Lot was offering here would be in our day. And there are a number of things that come to mind. But there's one particular equivalent that I'd like to suggest to you. And it's this: when a Christian parent or when any parent, for that matter, takes their child out of a Christian environment, and that's what we have here at Calvary Christian School. When they take their child out of the Christian school, when they take their child out of a place that is separated from the philosophy and the vain deceit of the world, when a parent takes them out of a place where the Word of God, the wisdom that is from above, that is pure and unsullied and undefiled, is the basis of the education. When parents take their child out of the Christian school and put them into the public school, they are turning them over to be defiled by the men of Sodom. They are doing, I want you to underline that word in your mind, they are doing what Lot only proposed for his daughters. And the answer from heaven to Lot's proposal to turn his virgin daughters over to the men of Sodom, as demonstrated by these two messengers from God, was very simple. God forbid. God forbid. Look at verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. We've talked in these messages on Lot, how a house in the Bible is a symbol of the local church, a place that God has raised up for the teaching and training and educating of children. And the Lord very forcefully demonstrates his desire for keeping Lot's daughters in that house, in that place, by not only pulling Lot back into that house, but in doing that, these two men, these two angels, pulled Lot away from his plan to send his daughters out of that house. And folks, God has not changed. He hasn't changed when it comes to parents sending their children out to the men of Sodom. It will never be his will. Will never be the Lord's will for you to put your child in a public school. It will never be. And one of the reasons it's like that is what we're talking about this morning. Secular humanistic education can never transmit to the children of a nation a love and appreciation of the laws, the rights, the freedom so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. They can't do it. In fact, they'll tear it down. They'll tear it down like they're tearing monuments down. Civil War monuments being torn down in this country. It grieves my heart every time I hear it. Somebody says, why? Because you're from the South? No. Because a nation that denies its past has no future. Has no future. And we're denying our past. And children that leave this school where they've been taught the truth of the Word of God and they get put in the schools of the men of Sodom, they're going to be defiled. The truth that they've been taught here will be attacked. And George Clinton understood that. He understood it just like most, if not all, or certainly a majority of our founders did. In his book, One Nation Under God, 10 Things Every American Should Know About the Founding of America, Dr. David Gibbs Jr. said this, quote, the fifth thing every Christian should know about the founding of America is that the education of the settlers and founders of America was uniquely Christian and Bible-based. When American children during the colonial era learned their ABCs, they also learned sound Bible doctrine. They learned from the New England Primer, the first textbook that was printed here in America that taught children to read. They learn from that, the sound Bible doctrine. For example, for the letter A, they learn, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. For the letter B, heaven to find, the Bible mind. For letter C, Christ crucified, for sinners died. Then Dr. Gibbs adds this, during the first 200 years, education in America was thoroughly Christian. The Bible was the chief textbook. This is what George Clinton said. Oh, let it never perish in your hands, but piously transmit it to your children. Brigadier General, Governor of New York, 2-time Vice President of the United States, George Clinton is promoting Christian education for the children of the people of 1787. It's the only education he knew. It's the only education they knew. And indeed, he's promoting it for every generation that would follow. Because Christian education, Bible-based education, the wisdom that is from above, that's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If you think about those words, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, that's Christian education. The public school education is the opposite of every one of those words. 55 million children every year are being abused in that system in this nation. Bible-based education, taught in the home, taught in the church, taught in the school, is the only kind of education that can transmit to the children of a nation a love and appreciation of the laws, the rights, the freedom so dearly bought. The price of so much blood. George Clinton understood that Memorial Day and Christian education, Memorial Day and graduation day at the Christian school are inseparably related. And the question I'd like for us to consider is this: where did this knowledge come from? What's the basis of it? Where do we find its roots? Where did George Clinton learn the connection between Memorial Day and education? I'd suggest to you that he earned it here in our text. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12 again, if you will. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Notice the wording. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. This is the first mention that I can find of Memorial Day in the Bible. Yes, there's Memorial Day in the Bible. And isn't it fitting that this day would be the first Memorial Day? And it's fitting because this is a day of liberty and freedom. It's a day of liberation for the people of God from the bondage and slavery of Egypt. It's as though the Lord says in verse 14, remember. I want you to remember the liberty, the freedom, the generous plan of power, the power to leave Egypt. Delivered down by your renowned father, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. What was the price of so much blood? It was the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Look at verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. That's what the Lord told Moses in verse 13. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance unto thee and to thy sons forever. Here's the establishment of Memorial Day. A day when the people of God came forth from Egypt into liberty and freedom. Liberty and freedom that was purchased by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. And it pictured the time when the generous plan of power of all eternity would be delivered down. And how would that generous plan of power be delivered down? Galatians 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. Redeem them. Underline that word in your mind. That were under the law. And how would God's Son, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, redeem them that were under the law? What payment? Because redemption implies a payment. It implies a price. What payment would be necessary to pay the price of redemption? Redemption would be so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb. Reading about the lamb here. John pointed to him. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Redemption was so dearly bought. The price of so much blood. Just how much blood is so much blood? As we think about the cross, so much blood is every drop of blood that flowed in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you how we know that. When the Lord appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he told them this in Luke chapter 24 and verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. The Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, says, I've got flesh and I've got bones, but he does not mention having blood. Why? Because redemption was so dearly bought. The price of so much blood. That's the message of the first Memorial Day. It's the message of the cross of Calvary. Have you believed the message? That's the question. Has there come that time in your life when you've taken your place as a sinner and by faith? That's what hyssop speaks to us of in verse 22 here. Faith. Has there come that time when you by faith have taken the blood of the Lamb of God? It was shed for me. It was shed for you. And applied it to your heart. It's the only way to be free from the bondage of your sin. John chapter 8 and verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free. The Son therefore shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. You can have that freedom this morning right where you are. If you'll humble your heart. And you'll repent of your sin. And you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He'll save you. He'll save you. And when we do that. When we do that, the Lord says to us what he said to Moses and the children of Israel, this day shall be unto you for a memorial. The Lord says to us, remember. Remember. That's why he established the Lord's Supper. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Remember, O my friends, the liberty, the freedom, the generous plan of power delivered down by your renowned Father, the Creator God, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. Oh, let it never perish in your hands, but piously transmit it to your children. Isn't that what the Lord told his people here? Look at verse 26. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. That's Christian education. And it's connected right back to what? Memorial Day. Christian education begins in the home. It continues in the church. It continues in the Christian school. Memorial Day and graduation day, 2 days that are inseparably related. And our prayer is that here at Calvary Memorial Church and Calvary Christian School, we'll never forget it. Remember, oh my friends, the laws, the rights, the freedom, the generous plan of power delivered down by your renowned Father, the God of glory, so dearly bought, the price of so much blood. Oh, let it never perish in your hands. May we never turn away from the truth, but piously transmit it to your children. Father, we thank you for the connection between Memorial Day and graduation day. We thank you for the memorial of the cross of Calvary, where the price of our redemption was purchased, the price of so much blood, the blood of the God of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that on this graduation day, we're reminded that we have the great privilege here at Calvary Christian School of teaching that message to the young people that are here. Father, we pray this morning that these parents, we don't know the circumstances. We've heard the names. But Father, we ask you to work in their circumstances and work in your providence to keep those children here. Help them not to be turned over to the men of Sodom. We just thank you for what you've established here in Southern Pines, and we just pray that you would continue to bless this work and bless this ministry. We pray that you'd speak to the hearts of any here who may be lost, that on this Memorial Day, they would see how the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed was for them, that they might have life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.